Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I share ideas and strategies, I interview experts, I talk about things that worked for me, but also those big epic fails that I've made along the way. And all because I genuinely believe that teachers play a profound role in helping their students reach their creative potential. And so today we're going to be talking about AI, which is what we talked about in our last episode. And before we get started, I want to say some of these ideas are in my book, The AI Roadmap, which you can check out on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other cool places. And by the way, side note, I love how popular Barnes & Noble has become again. I just think it's really, really cool. But also, I want to say, if you have not subscribed to my newsletter, go to spencereducation.com, and at the very bottom of the page, you'll notice there's a spot to sign up for the newsletter. And also, I did kind of a, website refresh, not redesign, that's too much. I don't know what to call it. But anyway, I'm super excited about what I did in terms of changing up the style and adding some new features and a whole new section for free resources that I'm adding to. So go check it out. It's at spencereducation.com, which is also my social media. So if you don't follow me on Instagram and Facebook, it's at Spencer Education for both. So without further ado, let's dive right into today's topic. It's all about this idea that students need to explore the nature of AI. And I know that term might sound strange, but just hear me out. I'm going to start with a story. In 2014, so 11 years ago, Microsoft launched a hugely successful AI bot named Xiaoxi in China. I'm probably mispronouncing it. It had over 40 million conversations. Users often described feeling that they were interacting with a real human. And side note, we are beginning to see this happen right now. The number of people interacting in a way that almost feels like a kind of creepy human AI relationship is very common. If you've seen the movie Ex Machina, like that's what I worry about a little bit. But anyway, back then, Microsoft founder Bill Gates described it this way. Xiaoxi has attracted 45 million followers and is quite skilled at multitasking. And I've heard she's gotten good enough at sensing a user's emotional state that she can even help with relationship breakups. Little red flag there again. Now, she's published poetry, recorded musical albums, hosted television shows, and released audiobooks for children. She's such a superstar that it's easy to forget that she's merely a set of complex algorithms. To many people, Xiaoxi feels real, unlike a fictional character who we might also fall in love with in a distant kind of way. This chatbot feels more real. It's dynamic, it's emotional, it's interactive. She seems, well, human. When people interact with her, they tend to treat her as if she was actually a real person. I share this because this is actually a really well-documented idea called the Eliza effect, where people attribute human-like intelligence and emotions to computer programs, even if they know the responses are generated by simple algorithms. This phenomenon is named after Eliza, an early AI program that basically offered psychological advice. It was, I'm not going to get into it, but people, even if they knew this was a very rudimentary algorithm-based program, over time they started to really treat it like it was a human that they were talking about. So what's fascinating is just how easily we can be duped by machines. Part of this is due to innate pattern recognition. We have a natural cognitive bias toward finding patterns and attributing causality even when the data is random. So when an AI produces responses that resemble human connection, our brains recognize the patterns, which again, AI is using pattern recognition to get us to tap into this pattern recognition, and the brain becomes convinced that there's a human behind this interaction. Again, it just feels more human. Moreover, humans tend to have a default toward trust. And for that reason, they sort of trust that the, quote, person on the other line is actually a person. All of this points to a deep need. Our students need to understand the difference between AI's information processing and human cognition. In our last episode of this podcast, I talked about the unintended consequences of AI. And so today I want to talk about this idea of really knowing what exactly AI is. And it helps to begin with the idea that robots can't think. One of the things I worry about AI is that students will mistakenly view AI as capable of thinking. Programmed with pro-social prompts, machine learning chatbots seem to convey empathy and understanding. I've already seen examples of how chatbots might function as a role-playing form of therapy for certain children. And like I mentioned, it's become very common for AI bots, for humans to build sort of fictional relationships with AI. And yet, I think it's really important to recognize that the word artificial intelligence is a misnomer. All artificial intelligence, including generative AI, is merely a set of complex algorithms working off of predictive analytics. But unlike human cognition, computers can't think. They process information. Humans think. They generate content. We create. And that's a difference. Actually, a really big difference. Human cognition is affective and emotional. It's unpredictable and messy. It's inherently social and relational. Our brains get tired. Machines don't. We use the term intelligence to describe AI, but a chatbot isn't sentient. It's not affective. It will do no thinking without a prompt. It recalls past information with clarity, but doesn't reimagine the past in the way that human memory does. It can't get nostalgic when it hears the first chords of that Weezer song and instantly thinks about that moment that your girlfriend broke up with you in high school when the song Sweater was playing on the radio. Okay, that might be too personal, but that was my experience. Or it can't immediately transport one back to the barbecue on a blazingly hot summer afternoon. When I leave the room, the chatbot is not daydreaming or making plans for the future or feeling insecure about that super awkward thing that happened just yesterday. A chatbot feels no shame, has no hopes, and experiences no loss. A chatbot can generate a love poem, but it can't be heartbroken. It can translate pop songs into Shakespearean sonnets, and it does so really, really well. But it cannot sit in a theater, awestruck by the moment when Shakespeare comes alive in Ashland, Oregon. These are all major aspects of human cognition that machines simply can't do. And I share this because there's already a tendency to anthropomorphize AI. When combined with the Eliza effect, I worry about our tendency to treat AI as if it were human. This will be especially true for younger students raised in a world of smart machines. And for this reason, I think it's really important to teach students about the nature of AI. And I know the word nature sounds odd because nature is itself organic. But what I'm talking about is teaching students about the very nature of truth, or in this case, the very nature of a process. In other words, they need to understand how AI works, even if they'll never completely understand how AI works. When it comes to new technology, an initial question is often, how do we use it? So with AI, the big question tends to be, how do we help students learn how to use machine learning in a way that is ethical and honors academic integrity? While those questions are critical, it's also important that students understand how AI works rather than just how to use it. In other words, we need students to explore this nature of technology. And I'm kind of repeating myself here, but I think the key idea is they really need to know what exactly is AI. So what can we do about it? There's a few things. Number one, explain the process that AI uses to generate new content. It's important that we demystify technology and help students understand what feels like magic is actually a set of complex algorithms designed to mirror the human mind. Students should understand that generative AI is a type of computer program that uses complex algorithms to make new things. Just like you learn from examples and experiences, the AI essentially learns from pattern recognition using massive amounts of data in a way that mirrors our brain. So there are these neural networks that mimic the mind. That's the key idea. Now, you might give them a diagram. You might talk them through the vocabulary, front load the vocabulary. But the core idea is to get a basic bird's eye view understanding of the nature of a large language model, which is essentially what all generative AI is. Note that we need to provide visuals and models. From here, students might explore questions like, what if the data set has bad information, or what kind of bias might exist in the data set? And I think it's really important that we give them some examples, especially ones that are visual. And one of my favorite examples is to ask them to look at an image of a left-handed painter, and every time you're going to get a right-handed painter. And so they can look at this and they can say, whoa, this is biased. You know, what is actually showing up here? And even when it becomes more accurate, and the newest forms of AI have become very, very accurate, it still contains those biases, I should say. Number two is get students programming. I know it sounds counterintuitive that if AI can generate new programs from scratch, students don't need to learn programming, but at a basic level, understanding how programming works makes a difference. I had a podcast episode in the past with Angela Daniel. She talked about the need to get students to program AI at a rudimentary level. And I really agree. I look back at the idea of teaching journalism. I think my students learned journalism better because they engaged in journalism. So you consume better when you create something. And even if they're not going to become programmers, there's something about knowing how programs work inherently by writing scripts yourself. So I'm not saying that they need to learn how to do, like, you know, amazing coding, like that they have to know Python in and out or anything like that. What I'm saying is helping them see a rudimentary understanding of programming will go a long way in this regard. Number three, engage in conversations using Socratic seminars. Socrates believed that writing would cause people to rely too much on the written word rather than their own memories. He believed that people who read a text would only be able to interpret it in the way that the writer intended, rather than engaging in a dialogue with the ideas presented in the moment. He was concerned that writing would spread false ideas and opinions, that, you know, fake news would essentially become more common. If that sounds familiar, I think these are some of the concerns people have right now with AI. It's that cognitive atrophy side. It's that false information side. And while it's easy to write off Socrates as reactionary, he had a point. We lost a lot of our humanity when we embraced the printed word, especially thousands of years later when we embraced the printing press. And this is why I think a Socratic seminar can be really powerful. Socratic seminars are ultimately student-centered. And while the structures differ, they tend to have a space where students ask and answer questions. They sit in a circle together. It's democratic, right? No one raises their hand. No one calls on names. The teacher's not directing. It's moving in a free-flowing way. And the best discussions are explanatory and open rather than cut-and-dry debates. And that's why I love it. It's the potential to look at AI with nuance and perspective. And so if you go to this particular blog post that corresponds to this, you'll notice that I have a whole bunch of questions that you can ask connected to AI. Number four, we can interview guest speakers. There are so many opportunities for students to understand the nature of AI and how it's being implemented in our world. Consider CTE programs. It's one thing to guess how AI will transform an industry. It's another to have a guest speaker say, AI is changing my job in huge ways, and I'm going to tell you why. It's one thing to read an article about AI in a specific domain. It's another to experience AI integration firsthand in an internship. So if we think about it this way, we have a huge opportunity to bring in guest speakers and have them talk about what AI is and how it works. Idea number five is we can wrestle with ideas through fiction. Sometimes the best way to think critically about big topics like AI is to explore it through the lens of fiction. At a younger grade, it might be Robots, Robots Everywhere or Boy and Bot. And these picture books can help launch bigger discussions. With older students, it might be the classics like Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep or Neuromancer. Students might examine the laws of robotics in Isaac Asimov's iRobot. For a take on Cinderella, they might read the YA novel Cinder, which is not as popular now, but I still think is a fantastic book. Clara and the Sun might be an option that they might read. And there's a lot of different examples that they can do and explore. Novels and short stories often provide a more nuanced view of machine learning than a persuasive polemic or a general nonfiction description of how AI works. With a story, we get complexity and paradox. We have the opportunity to explore multiple perspectives through the lenses of multiple characters. And I think that's really powerful. The other thing is that science fiction is often ahead of its time. And for that reason, we can get ahead of the curve on our thinking and our discussions by reading fiction. Number six, and the final idea, is we can explore the history of AI. While we tend to think of AI as a revolution, it's been more like an evolution, and it's been over 70 years in the making. The term artificial intelligence was coined by John McCarthy, and he was a computer scientist for MIT back in 1956. And this was the era of punch cards and vacuum tubes. But I think it's important to understand that his definition of using a computer algorithm to mimic the brain is exactly what AI is. So spell check is a primitive form of AI. Social media is a more advanced form. And obviously, generative AI is even more advanced than that. We are not entering the AI era. We're already in it. And so when we understand the history of AI, and we ask the question, how is it already changing our world? That will help us anticipate the changes that will come. By exploring the past, students can avoid some of the traps of moral panic, where we freak out just because it's new. But also, it helps them avoid the trap of getting so used to technology that we don't pay attention to how dangerous it can sometimes be. In the end, it's really about awareness. There's no single right way to teach students about the way AI works. But if our students are being raised in a world of smart machines, it's important that they wrestle with what it means to be human in a generative world. The danger is the complacent boredom, where we start thinking it's just normal and we don't question AI at all. I share this because sometimes I come across as being pro-AI, and sometimes I come across as somehow being anti-AI. And I'm neither. I see it as a powerful tool and one that we can't completely control. Now that feels scary, and that might be. And that can feel dangerous, and again, that might be. But I think it's really important to say, what exactly is this thing in our society? And how is it changing it? Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever it is that you get your podcasts? Also, if you haven't done so yet, please make sure to subscribe. And then also just a quick thing, if you are interested in AI-related professional development, there is a speaker tab on my website at spencereducation.com. Just click on that. You can get a PD catalog. You can reach out to me on by filling out a form, and I will get back to you within 24 hours. So again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day, and go out and make something awesome.